Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from Absinthe to Zinfandel. Drinkage à toi.
Hello and welcome to another episode of It's the Drink Talking with me, Sam Capon, aka the Mistress of Wine, and my partners in crime, sidekicks, trusty cohorts, Tom Sandham.
Hello.
And Ben McFarland.
All right.
All right. And today we've been booted out again into our little side office, which is gorgeous. It's quite cosy, actually, because we've got the producer in here and Rich, the sound engineer.
Producer so, Ian. Producer Ian. Give him a name.
More say hi, just, Ian.
Does he deserve it?
Oh, that's enough, Ian.
Back in the box.
Down.
So we're all huddled together in this lovely spot.
It looks like a kind of bachelor's. There's nothing in here apart from a sofa, a couple of chairs, a massive telly.
A nice speaker.
With like
fat speaker.
Two massive, really fat sort of pyramid style speakers and nothing else.
But that's what we are today. So just it might be a little bit noisier than our little soundproof booth is all we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Oh, and happy birthday to my sister and also my goddaughter Ava for today.
Is that
it's
your...
their birthdays today. It's not my twin sister.
No, I know that's not your twin sister. I was not going to say because that would be your birthday as well.
Yeah.
Is that the doctor?
No, it's my twin sister.
Oh, that is your twin. Okay.
This is my sister, Katie.
Oh, what does she
and
do?
She's not a doctor. She is a TA.
Territorial Army?
No, teaching assistant.
Oh.
So a bit less dangerous.
Yeah.
But
was
a TA
doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
What age group.
You haven't seen those children.
It's not quite my birthday, but my birthday's coming up. So just...
Yeah, all
so
right. We're all
everyone's
aware.
Got a birthday, Tom.
When's your birthday?
5th of April. So,
oh.
You know, just, I'm just preparing. You say
41?
You can come with gifts. 41, yeah.
41.
Mm.
Well, and how old is your sister?
42 today.
All right. Okay.
So just a little bit older.
Does she look it?
No, she's in good nick.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
We all are. Runs in the family.
Right.
It's because I don't smile. It's hilarious. My dad does look pretty good. He's 72. He's barely got any wrinkles. Shock of white hair. But I was like, you look amazing. You just don't have any kind of like lines or anything. Yeah, his face goes, you know, not very expressionful, I guess, if that's the right word. So that's the answer. Just be a bit of a misery. And,
just take Valium.
Closed book.
Take Valium.
Just take loads of Valium and be indifferent to everything.
No one ever knows what
and you'll live longer and look better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got to say, if you're wanting to look good, then listening to this podcast is good because it will... Most people listen to it, they're just indifferent to it, aren't they? They don't laugh.
There's au contraire. Wait till you hear my spittle
all right,
swallows.
Go on.
That's
going to
have everyone laughing in the aisles.
Add some wrinkles.
So I thought this was so ridiculous. So this is my spit. I don't know if you chaps saw it in the and basically our Bible for Spit and Swallow, which is the Drinks Business Daily Bulletin.
We used to work for the Drinks Business.
Oi, this is my section.
Sorry.
Just back down.
We're kind of a big deal.
Did you see the bit about the man who builds a boyfriend out of wine boxes?
He what? Does
what?
What?
A man built a boyfriend out of empty wine boxes.
Whoa.
For himself or for the ladies?
That is both desperate.
Gay, so far
oh, okay. I didn't
both
know
desperate
whether...
and a very good idea.
I thought it was just pretty much the former, definitely not the latter.
Well, it depends. Did he get away with it? What does this person look like?
I've got a picture. Sorry, guys. Obviously, you're
listening. All right, I'll describe it.
Here's a picture.
Well, we can
of,
describe whether he's
Michael.
Dreamy or
he's
just
Michael.
Ugly.
He's called Michael.
He
go.
Should have been called something like Vincent.
But guess,
as in, see,
but the name of the there. Boyfriend.
Vincent Van Box.
Oh, I need to come back.
Vincent Van Box, that would have been good.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, as in Vincent and Van. Vinny
Vincent Van Bogh.
Yeah.
Well, he named the boyfriend Franz.
Oh, Franz. You just said he was called something else, didn't you?
No, Michael was the name of the man who built the boyfriend.
I see. Right,
he called
okay.
the boyfriend, interested in him. Built out of wine boxes, Franz. He's from Portland. He was single, and he decided to take matters into his own hand by building his wine box boyfriend, Franz.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just... really do you remember who is the one out of Short Circuit? Johnny Five?
Yeah.
He looks like Johnny Five.
Okay.
He's not a ridiculous looking man. He's, he's tall, dark, and quite handsome.
No, I'm talking about the robot, you idiot.
Ben's hogging him. He's really... I think Ben's falling in love. Is he that good looking, Ben? Looks like a right square.
Michael? Yeah, that's good. No, Michael's quite dishy. I can't believe he's single. But the wine box boyfriend...
It's a bit square.
Well, he just looks like a bunch of wine boxes.
Yeah, that is not good.
Michael told the Metro, when I'm single and lonely and drinking, well, why not create a companion out of that loneliness?
Because it's weird. I've got the answer.
And there's
there.
A picture of him in bed with the wine box boyfriend, which is particularly weird.
Okay.
And also, he's got a bicycle in his bedroom, which is very Portland.
He doesn't have any genitalia, so...
No.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Ian's just suggested a tap. I think that's a great idea.
He's also thrown in the picture... he's put a sort of tea towel over the wine box boyfriend's shoulder. He's called Franz, but he's not German, apparently. He's from all over. A blend, if you will, apparently.
And he's kept. Where did he get the boxes from? The cellars.
Nice.
Yeah, he said, "Is it?"
So that's my spit. Wine box boyfriend.
I know. I like that's really good. That's really good. I mean,
that is one of the weirdest we've had, Sam. I think that's.
I mean, that just shows you
confusion.
How desperate
people can
the general
be.
Press
men.
Are.
Men as well.
And, and as you can see, Wonder Wine Boxes is called Franzia. I think it's largely led to believe that that is where Franz came from.
Maybe there's a female.
Do you think Franz
here
behind it? I think it's a publicity stunt.
And weirdly, the torso is called Black Box.
Yeah. Always survives on a plane, though, doesn't it?
It does.
There we go.
Why don't you make the whole plane out of Black Box?
And anyone listening, Harry, hello. The drinksbusiness.com, just Google man builds boyfriend out of wine boxes and you'll be able to see the three images for yourself. Michael chuckling away in the kitchen, laughing hysterically while cooking spaghetti.
Hysterically, he's right.
In the supermarket,
he's laughing like a
buying
lunatic.
Some cereal and cuddle up in bed with a cat, two cups of tea, the fucking boyfriend can't drink tea, you knob, and some toast.
Can I just say that I'm not surprised that Michael is single.
No.
He sounds like a weirdo.
Fruitcake.
I thought you were
going
to say
allegedly.
Freak,
I'm sure he's all right.
Equally...
Yeah, I'm sure he's charming. So that is my spit.
Well done.
Wow, good.
Now, my swallow, as I've got an interesting follow-up for you. So I went to the London Wine Competition, and this week, I tried a blue sparkling wine.
Oh, did you? Ooh. That one? The...
No, cause I think that was still. This was sparkling.
Okay, and?
But the first...
No.
But interestingly, the first wine in this flight was grey. A sparkling grey wine.
What?
And I can now confirm that it's called, I don't really know how to pronounce it, Luvinez. L-U-V-I-E-N-Z. And
Luvienz.
It was, you're the one with the French mum, aren't you?
Yeah.
Is that how you think you pronounce it?
Yeah, Luvinez. Okay. And she's grey as well.
Great. That's easy, okay. easy so, way to remember
like
that.
Yeah.
And it was a champagne, a Blanc de Blanc. So made only from Chardonnay. A Blanc de Blanc champagne.
Blanc's white, right?
Yeah, Blanc de Noir is made only from the red grapes, Meunier and Pinot Noir.
Blanc de Noir, white to
So Blanc
red.
De Noir is basically... the liquid is white.
Right.
So the Pinot Noir and Meunier are pressed very delicately, but it's made from red grapes.
Right.
Blanc de Blanc is made from Chardonnay, thus is white, but only made from the white grape.
And this one's made from grey grapes?
Blanc de Blanc. No, yeah. But
Blanc
it's blended
Blanc was presented
with...
presented by Les Dawson in the 80s.
It's blended
Blanc
with caviar.
Blanc.
Oi, you dismissed that. What? It's blended with caviar.
What?
What
the grey stuff?
That's
this
why it's
is
gray.
Getting a bit fishy now.
What?
Guess the price of the bottle of champagne.
This is just
it's going to be off the scale, isn't it?
It is.
It's
kind of. I reckon. So the
£20.
No. I'm going for. I think they'll price it around the £100 mark.
I'm going to go low because no one's buying this shit. £20.
All right. So if I said £880,
I would be surprised.
I'd say, fuck off.
So. I had the...
Say Finney.
Firmin Laporte. No, well, I tasted this last week and it was actually delicious.
Really?
Yeah. It was delicious. Not £880 worth of delicious, but it was actually delicious.
But it was a caviar detectable.
So, it is a quite interesting one because obviously, reading all the blurb on the website, there's a lot of bollocks, which I might just read out. Louvenez Caviar Edition is crafted on request by our gifted artisans. Each bottle contains an exquisitely refined drink, unique in the world, combining two of the most luxurious ingredients, caviar and the finest French sparkling wine, carefully blended following a secret, strictly controlled process. So I can't actually confirm how this is made. It's the irritating thing.
Well, this is me having a guess.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, I know nothing about wine or champagne, but they use it just the caviar like they would finings.
You'd think they'd put it in at the same time as the yeast and the fining agents and stuff, but they just basically said, yeah, artisans combine Bulgarian Ossietra caviar with Blanc de Blanc champagne from Grand Cru vineyards, and they've created several steps. The first is caviar extraction, and then they blend it with the champagne.
Okay.
But and they say, and add pressure.
It tasted nice. So you know why what? Is it your spit? Is it just because it's...
No, it's not. It's my swallow.
This is your swallow.
Friends was my spit. Yeah. The boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Don't worry. I'll be dreaming
about it. No, this is my swallow. So basically, the colour was quite off-putting. It was quite a deep gunmetal grey. And it did have bits floating in it, which was also a little bit off-putting. However, it was very delicious. And Blanc de Blanc champagne can be quite saline and minerally, quite yeasty. And a little bit spermy. So actually, the caviar just highlighted that nature of the wine.
Okay, so a grey champagne that smells of gentleman's relish.
It's got a lot of spunk.
And it was, it was very complex, very long. It was an absolutely delicious champagne. It was grotesquely overpriced, but actually, we all agreed that the liquid itself was tasty.
High protein.
High protein, tasty. For anyone with hilariously, a spokesperson on the website on the site. No, I read this on a different site that said someone reviewed it and decided it's certainly something that needs to be sampled at least once. And I thought for £880, I'm not sure that's true.
That's my rule as well.
You can also get.
You can't say you don't like it until you've tried it.
And it also comes crafted in beautiful chests, retailing at £22,000.
Come on, people.
You can have a personalised chest for £22,000. So it's not a cheap product. Quite chuffed I got to taste it.
Yeah, no, that's the way to experience it.
Yeah, not paying for it yourself.
Not paying for it at all.
No. Yeah.
But I will not be spending £880 on that.
On Louvenez.
No.
Each bottle contains 5% caviar extract, although it does produce a 10% version for clients who prefer a more intense flavour.
I don't see caviar. I've never understood the caviar thing. It's never...
I love caviar.
I mean, it's nice, but I've never
Yum. Caviar and champagne. Sign me up. Mm. Anyway, so it was actually, gimmick or not, bit wanky or not.
Well, I think the best thing...
but it was delicious.
Stop it, Sam. Come on. Grow up.
I think they should send some in. Yeah.
So that's my spit or swallow. Both excellent, I thought.
Yeah,
today.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Back on form. Yeah. And
couple of months.
And now we're going to move over to Beer Man Ben.
Yes, we're going to do a tasting.
Ooh.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
Now, I do a lot of good work for charity, but I don't like
do
to talk
really?
About it.
No.
Well, no, not really.
He works for nothing.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately,
this is my gift.
I make half of it.
This is my charitable gift to the masses. So what we're going to do today... Well, Tom's going to turn his phone off for a start.
Oh, that's
just
what
in
the
demand. Just in demand.
So this week, I'm going to taste two beers. Well, we're actually going to taste three beers today.
Why?
I know that's breaking the rules, but I don't care. I'm a maverick. We're going to taste two beers that do good things. The first beer we're going to taste is this one. It's called Hiver.
Oh, I like the packaging.
Produced in London. It's a honey beer.
Ooh, yum.
And it's made using...
Honey.
Honey. Thanks.
All right, so we've got two Hivers.
Two Hivers.
Okay,
not,
so
not
it's the same beer.
Not vegan
same
appropriate.
Brand. Same brand. No, it's not vegan appropriate, but as I said last week, no bees die in the making of this beer.
What,
this
absolutely
honey.
No bees yes. die? So that's...
Well, I don't know. Some
well,
of them
no,
are
you
just,
don't, do you?
Just, but not because
you
they're making this.
As a bee
look,
lawyer,
look,
I mean,
these bees
that.
Benefit more. We're keeping these bees in jobs by drinking this
Have
beer.
Have you hurt yourself while working? Is there a claim to be made?
All right, do you want to know a few things about bees? How many eyes do you think bees have?
10.
No.
Well, they have thousands of eyes, don't they? They're all, I don't know.
They've eight. Got none. It's BWES. No, they've got five eyes, and they see 300 frames per second, right. And they can see ultraviolet. Did you know that?
I didn't. I mean, yeah. It's the drinks podcast. So I have no real need to know more about bees, but keep going.
What percentage of all the food we eat is pollinated by bees?
100.
A lot.
How can 100% of the food we eat? Lamb. Kebab.
Sheep to shag by bees, yeah. And then we get lambs,
yeah, caviar,
right?
That's made by bees.
They shag fish, that gives us caviar.
It's a third. It's a third.
I knew it's important. I mean, bees are important.
They're very important.
That's not new news.
So what we're going to do here, Hive was started by a woman called Hannah Rhodes, who used to work for Meantime Brewing.
I love the way you used a woman.
No, I was kidding. Because we talked about International Women's Day previously, and it's just what a coincidence. Did you know that half the people in the world are women? I didn't know that.
Can I have some beer?
Yeah, let's pour the beer out. Hang on.
In our new setup, it's not quite so easy to...
Is this called Hive or is it called Hiver?
Called Hiver.
Hiver. Come Hiver.
It's not called Hives or HIV. It's called Hiver, and it's set up by a really nice lady called Hannah Rhodes, who started Meantime Brewing and set up on her own. And she's been an amazing entrepreneur. And rather than it being a beer that's brewed and then have honey added to it, she sources honey from urban beekeepers in London. And also in Warwickshire, she uses this independent beekeeper who's based in Warwickshire but goes around the country sourcing different honeys from different areas. Because the taste of the honey, the raw honey, which...
It's quite distinct honey taste.
Well, it also... But did you know that the flavour of the honey depends on where the bees forage?
Well, and also what they pollinate. So if they're pollinating...
Exactly.
Tulips.
Yeah, like, you can get tons
quite
of different
clean.
Sorts of...
Clean honey.
Honeys, yeah. Depending on what's been pollinated.
Daisies, quite fat honey.
Can I say, Ben, it is absolutely delicious. Mm. This might be one of my favourite beers we've ever tasted on this podcast. It's really good
because not only is it...
Where do you get it from? How much is it?
It's £2.40. You can get it from Waitrose, obviously.
Ooh.
Ocado, so get on that. And you can get it from their website. But 10% of what they make goes into schemes that... Help pollinator schemes.
Bee schools. Dealing with all the bees that hurt, but not killed.
But
during
not
the making
killed.
Of
you know,
beer.
If they break a leg, they make a little...
good old bees. Yeah. They do sting you, though.
They do, but only if you...
They're not like wasps.
I'm talking to my sons.
I got a wasp sting on my butt last year.
Wow. That is...
I sat on a wasp.
That is bad.
Yeah,
but did you know...
I don't know how to deal with
that. But they use a lot of urban... honey from London. Did you know that technically there are so many trees in London that it could qualify as a wood? London is an actual wood.
Bollocks.
Because the Victorians...
It's going to be something about density to qualify.
No, because the Victorians planted loads of trees around London. So
and now
they've
been cut down.
Not all of them. And apparently acacia trees are very, very good for...
I can't see a single
tree. I'm
casting
out of our office here in East London and there is zero trees. There's some house plants up there in that office.
Yeah.
Next
all right,
to that toilet.
Okay, so that's not the best example.
I'm still keeping an eye on that toilet window.
But what they do is, as part of this, is they encourage these pollinators.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
schemes. Because if you speak to any independent beekeeper, it's not about, they're not encouraging you to have hives in your garden or look after bees in your garden. The thing to do is to plant flowers that bees can forage in.
Oh.
And apparently the two big ones are thyme. Mm-hmm. That's good. Herbs are,
right, I've got
are very good.
Yeah. I'm glad you
and the other one, bear with me, the other one is lavender is really good as well.
Oh, I love lavender.
Yeah.
Oh, and our lavender does get tons of bee action.
They love a bit of lavender.
Yeah, yeah. And I love a bit of lavender.
But lavender makes you sleepy, doesn't it? Is it lavender the one that makes you
sleepy? Yeah, I drench myself in it every night. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That's where you've been going wrong. Yeah.
They get their honey from London and Warwickshire and Yorkshire as well. And this is the blonde beer that they launched. And they've got a second one. It's a brown ale.
Seriously
delicious.
Which
I think carries the honey. Got a sweeter texture to it. Right, drunk that. There we go. So this is the second of their beers.
Okay, this is the brown one. Slightly darker.
And this is it's a darker one, darker malts. And they use late blossom honey. Sourced from Ivy in Warwickshire. So,
well, now I know that, but it does sort of floral.
Yes.
Which is now
I do prefer,
now you've said
and a bit
things.
Tobacco-y.
So the urban honey apparently is more citrusy from London, and the late blossom honey has got a bit more of a floral character as well.
Peachy, it's quite light fruit.
But I think the sweetness of the malts as well. But just to go back to the brewing process, they don't just whack this honey in at the end to give it a honey character. They actually use the honey to ferment.
Yeah.
So the sugars
like a mead.
Well, no, apparently it's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that what mead is, though?
That's totally different.
Okay.
So this is a honey beer, not a mead. If you taste the brown ale, it's not like it's still very refreshing. Still got that sweetness to it.
Yeah, it's nice.
But they're delicious. I'm going to buy some of this honey beer.
Well and, done. You know, and also, it's where... So do you know this is where the phrase honeymoon comes from? Tom, you know.
Yeah, I do know this, yes.
I know this as well.
Show, oh, okay.
India.
India, yeah, well, it was written in the Indian.
I read it. I learned about it in Indian your show. Scripts. One of the most interesting.
Well, should we tell the listeners, or should we just assume that they know as well?
Well, why don't they come to the show, Ben?
Because it's not going to be in our show.
It will be in the new show.
Oh well, yes, of course it will. Yeah, we're regurgitating old stuff. So honeymoon, it comes from when the father of the bride would give the groom a month supply of
a lunar month supply of honey beer.
And he would drink it, and he'd
exactly
drink
that.
The honey beer on the wedding day, go upstairs, give it to her.
Not just across the entire lunar month.
Yeah, and then if he produces a male heir, then the father bride's like, that's because of my honey beer. Mm. If he produces no children, or worse still, a female heir, then the honey beer is shit. And also, if you're London-based, go along to the Hiver experience where you get to do
a tour.
It's near Kennington, South London. They've got a tap room there, but they also, it's part of a community project there. You go and learn about bees, you put all the beekeeper gear on, and you look at all the trays and stuff, and then you have a beer and food matching with the Hiver beers and charcuterie and cheese and stuff like that. They've also got an IPA which is about to come out in cans, and they also do a Gose as well, which is a German style Gose, G-O-S-E. Which is a sort of actually brewed with salt. It'd be one of those beers that you don't like, Sam, so I didn't do that.
Sounds a bit like that champagne.
Yes.
I had a salted beer recently. I didn't like it.
No.
You've got another beer, haven't you?
Yes. Now, the second one we're trying is...
Seriously, that is lush.
It's really good.
The Hiver Honey Beer Blonde.
And it's all... Everything they use is British made, from their business cards to the glass, to all the flyers, to the labels,
made
to the malt, the hops.
Wings.
I'm going to take a photo of that.
And, lots of bees are killed making this beer. No, they're not. Oh, what doesn't matter? They're only bees. Right, the next one is called Brewgooder.
Brewgooder, I like it. That's a fun way of saying
this is
better. Brewgooder.
Now, 100% of this beer, profits for the sale of this beer, goes to projects making clean water in Africa and Malawi. And they've embarked on a mission to provide clean water to a million people, I think. 100 million. Wait a minute, I can just check. I'm just pouring a beer here.
It's a funny one, that, isn't it? Is that a billion or a million?
It's two guys who have started this project, and they brew the beer at Brewdog up in Scotland. They're Scottish-based, and Brewdog brew it for them for no profit whatsoever. hats off to them like that.
And oh yeah, it's Ace.
Yeah,
what, and I love the packaging.
Describe the packaging,
me,
Sam, while
okay.
I look at my notes.
So it's in a really funky can called Brugada, clean water lager, and it's got a picture. It's all kind of set in Africa. And it's got some of those lovely kind of trees, a nice lady with water on her head going off to the huts, and a well in the middle. And 100% of profits provide clean water. I think that's lovely.
So it is a million people they're trying to get water to. And the beer itself, I think with both these beers, they're doing good sort of sustainability and good charitable deeds. It's no good if the beer's not very nice.
Mm.
And I think this beer is very good. It's got Sriracha Ace hop in there. It's got Tsar's hop. Sriracha Ace is a Japanese style, originally from Japan. Tsar's is the original Pilsner hop from the Czech Republic.
We know Tsar's well, don't we, Ben?
We do.
We used to put that in our hobo beer, which we changed the recipe on.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's a good.
It's a good.
Noble.
It's a noble. Good knowledge, Tom. Well done.
We did go there.
Yeah.
We should remember something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed Prague.
Yeah.
Probably
nothing
too
noble
much.
About that trip. And they founded it in 2016 on World Water Day. Basically, the more you drink of this, the more they raise money to get water to people who need it, which is ironic, really, because beer historically is safer than water.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah,
so
probably.
Maybe it's cheaper. They should just ship it out there? Over to Malawi, and then they can drink it.
Oh, I've been to Malawi. I swam in Lake Malawi. That's where I got my snails. You know where I had.
Oh, what happened to you? Where did snails go?
Intestinal snails, where I couldn't stop shitting for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, snails in your belly.
Swam in Lake Malawi, but it's quite an important point in terms of evolution. There's a fish in there which is like the cornerstone of evolution. So it was worth swimming in there, but then I just had to shit.
And then how did you get rid of the snails in your stomach?
I went to the GP and asked what was going wrong on with me. And he said, oh, it sounds very interesting. And then he got a massive hardback book of tropical diseases, which he blew the dust off and has obviously not looked at for a decade. And said, yeah, oh, this is really interesting. Oh, what's going on in your intestines? I think you need to go to the Tropical Diseases Centre. And it's funny, there's nothing that will close your bowels up a bit quicker than being told you've got to go to the Tropical Diseases Clinic for an investigation. And lo, the snails just rattled off.
Did they really?
And then they went.
If there'd been a cleaner water in Malawi, perhaps you would have come back with a clean bill of health.
Yeah, who knows? But if the Lake Malawi is made of beer, I would have been sound as a pound.
Exactly. But these guys, Brugada, were founded by two chaps called Alan Mahon and Josh Littlejohn, who also set up Social Bite, which is a national chain of sandwich shops that employs homeless people from homeless backgrounds. They've got form of doing good stuff. George Clooney came to their company a couple of years ago and did a lot of publicity for it.
Don't get started on Clooney, Ben.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know him.
George Clooney, I'm aware who he is.
He's the husband of that really...
Hot lawyer. Successful barrister.
So he's done well for himself. Yeah. So there we go. Two beers. What do people think about the Brugada beer?
I like it, but I think maybe if I were to teach you to suck eggs, Ben, I'd say perhaps we should have tasted that one first because the second, the Hiver beer is a lot
stronger
and it's got a bit more punch.
This is a lager style, whereas those are Blondales and Brownies.
So, you know, I'd just say,
I went for the bees first because I love bees.
I prefer the bees.
Yeah.
Go the bees! That's going to be my new beer.
Get some clean water.
And I enjoyed that immensely. Love the whole idea of being able to booze while contributing to charitable good works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sensational. Love it. Excellent, which just leaves you, Sandham.
Yeah, today my...
You
legend.
Have an animal...
This better be good.
A human,
shape, having pulled Ben up on this... choice of order of beers, I think he's going to be...
Your legend of the gums
are ready to pour out. Go on.
Because, yes, I'll be honest, listeners. I spoke to a friend, Seamus, who you know, Ben, who works for a drinks company called Proof Drinks, and they distribute lots of lovely drinks around the UK. And Seamus listens to our podcast.
So he is a friend.
He is also someone who would be very honest if he thought it was utter shit. And he said he likes it and he still listens. So he's probably listening right now. And he suggested we should go through some Hollywood greats in terms of drinkers.
Ooh, good one.
And it was a great idea. And I thought, well, why don't I start a series of Hollywood drinkers?
Okay.
Do you find anyone?
It kind of fell down the first hurdle because so many of them...
Had sticky ends?
Yeah. Oh. sclerosis of the liver, yeah. and the like. Peter O'Toole was one who we could have gone with, and maybe we'll come back to him, I don't know, because he did actually eventually stop drinking. I think that's the key to a great drinker, is that they...
or, someone who gets over their
someone
demons.
Slightly more moderate. I'll tell you what I thought was nice. I was reading about an interview with... who's the chap from Madness?
Suggs.
Yeah. And he basically said something like, his favourite thing is to have a Sunday lunch with families, friends, sort of waste and strays, and basically saying a sign of real hospitality is just to be able to, you know, give someone a glass of wine or to, you know, just to, you know, share some booze. And so I just thought, you know, people can appreciate booze without going quite down.
Exactly. That is the line you're sort of treading when it comes to, well, Hollywood, it would appear. So it was a bit of a shame. I mean, O'Toole was a good one.
But he's not your legend.
He's not, but having read about him, he was drinking quite heavily before a funeral, and he sobered up the day before the funeral, but then went back to the pub and kept drinking, and then went to the funeral and cried his eyes out for quite some time before realising he was at the wrong funeral. I mean, that is the sort of stuff we're talking about.
To me, you'll never be able to beat Yeltsin in the underpants.
Yeah, that's a good story.
That's kind of unbeatable.
Again, problem drinker though. Mm. Well, I've gone with Bogart though, who's sort of somewhere in between. He's a massive gin drinker and whiskey drinker, and on his deathbed, apparently his big sort of moment of repenting was the fact that he'd switched from Scotch to martinis under guidance from the doctor. But actually, it's one of those sort of urban myths, because I'm not sure he did. I think he quite enjoyed martinis. If you go back to his earlier life, he was a huge gin drinker. So I've got him here as a legend of gin drinking, really. He's obviously a legend of the screen and a drinker. So that's why
that'll do us.
That's why I've got him in here. He's not really a man who's done a great deal for drink necessarily. But he was an early adopter of gin. He trained himself during the dark days of American temperance. So he was drinking in bars during Prohibition. He was expelled from school, enlisted in the Navy, and then he went off to the First World War, but he was too late. So he got on a boat, went out there, and it all finished.
Lucky
that
him.
Must have been great.
So he came back.
Can you come back going, I tried.
No danger.
And nothing happened. But when he came back, his dad had blown his entire family fortune, so he was completely penniless. So he tried lots of various odd jobs around New York, trying to find work, but mostly drank in bars during Prohibition. So he drank in a bar called the 21 Bar, which was quite famous for writers and for actors as well. Tallulah Bankhead, have you heard of Tallulah Bankhead?
She's
a great, great drinker. She loved to drink bourbon.
She's like a thinking woman's Dorothy Parker.
That's right, yeah. She's the real deal.
Yeah.
She didn't write stuff down in a book.
No,
she just drank.
She couldn't be bothered.
And her last words were codeine and bourbon.
No.
Yeah, apparently that's pretty good last words. But this is better, because he also drank with Dylan Thomas there at the time. He drank in the 21 Bar. And his last words were, if this is true, which it's not, I'm sure, I've had 18 straight whiskies. I think that's a record. And then he died.
Killed over.
So Bogart was sort of exposed to all of this culture, drinking bathtub gin, which we've talked about perhaps in the past, the American government spiking it with poison to put people off drinking. Bogart didn't let that put him off. He drank a lot, so much, in fact, he built up one of the biggest bar tabs in New York. He's quite famous for having a bar tab which he couldn't settle because he didn't have any work. And Ben will know this because he started to make bets with people in the bars and parties to try and get the money back to pay off the bar tabs. And one of them apparently saw him agree to bite his way through a martini glass just to pay off a bar tab, which is...
Irresponsible.
That's quite easy, though. I have got to say that...
easy to eat a martini glass?
No, he said bite your way through it. That's completely different.
No, you've got to bite it. It's got to go into your mouth.
I remember being on holiday a couple of years ago with my son.
A martini glass.
No, who at the time was quite little, but he was drinking an apple juice from a highball glass.
Yeah. Oh,
and he always used to put his teeth into stuff. So suddenly we're sitting there and we heard this crack and he'd managed to... breaks in the glass. Anyway, it's fine. It's completely fine. It was a big piece, spat out. No drama at all. No, he's completely... Okay. Look, thank God, it was completely fine. But actually, it's very easy to do, I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, swallowing it is the next level, I suppose. That would have dealt with my intestinal sales.
Would have done. Yeah. And then, but maybe created some other side effects.
Yeah, internal bleeding. In 1923, he was drinking in Chumley's, which I think is still there. My sister used to live in New York. She got me a Chumley's glass of a very cool bar. Anyway, he was drinking heavily there, and then he went to perform his first Broadway performance, Meet the Wife, and he forgot his lines. And thereafter, he drank in a more moderate fashion. So from there, we see a history of him succeeding in the world of cinema. He moved out to L.A., drank at the Cock and Ball pub, which is where the Moscow Mule was invented by a marketing man from Smirnoff. And he would then take martinis in cold flasks onto the sets of his movies. Obviously, he's got the line of all the gin joints in the world, drinking a lot of gin in that movie. That's a bit more cliched. But he was drinking a lot of martinis while on set, but also managing to hold his own. And he won an Academy Award. Mm. So all this drinking, great acting, and then he won an Academy Award. So that's why he's my legend.
And he was also famously was in a film called The African Queen with Katharine Hepburn.
He was.
And that was the first ever film to have product placement. It was Gordon's Gin. It was filmed in the Congo and there was loads of problems with the water.
Because he was allowed to drink.
So he basically set up his own bar in this tent, and Katharine Hepburn wrote to the director saying, this is completely out of order, you know, his drinking is getting out of hand. His defence was, well, I'm not going to get the shits because I'm going to drink. I'm not drinking any water, I'm just going to drink. And sure enough, everyone on set, including Hepburn,
it got really
bats
Ill.
Out of a clock tower for Hepburn. Yeah. But he just drank scotch the whole time, perfectly
got
fine. Just basically killed the bugs with alcohol. Mm. It's a great film. It's really good.
Never seen it.
Oh, yeah. You should watch it.
Yeah. Here we go. Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. We've done a lot of producers, haven't we?
Yeah, it's
I just
nice
think
to
it's
mix
quite
it up
nice
a bit.
To get someone who just enjoyed a drink.
I agree.
One of his quotes was, I don't trust any bastard who doesn't drink. And I think
I feel quite similar.
Unless you've got a problem. Unless you've got a problem.
Unless you've got a problem.
Or you're pregnant.
Yes. Or you're a child.
Yeah.
But I don't trust children anyway.
No.
Okay,
excellent. Well, that was a fantastic episode, I thought, this week.
Yeah, I mean,
congratulations to all of us. And just needs to say goodbye until next week.
Goodbye.
Cheers.
Bye.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.